if you will, and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, if you'll find verse 23. I want to preach a message this morning on God's gifts at Christmas. And when we think about gift giving and giving and receiving gifts, I'm sure you couldn't have been as bad as I was when I was a kid growing up, because I was horrible. And I used to get my mom and dad up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and they'd say, go back to bed, you're up too early on Christmas Day. And I just couldn't stand it. I was so excited on Christmas Day and that. And it just drives me nuts, these people that when they get ready to open a gift, it's very methodical. They take a piece of tape and they peel it off real slow, you know, and they do that. I'm one of those rip and tear, just get it done, rip and tear it off and get to the gift and see what's in there, you know. So, you know, I when you think about gift giving and receiving that, I don't know, somewhere along the way, as you get a little bit older, you enjoy watching other people open the gifts and go through that experience in life. And so I know it is more blessed to give than to receive. But I think about God and all of the gift giving that that He has given to us in the world that we live in. And so I just wanted to kind of reflect and preach a message today on that, is God's gifts at Christmas, because whatever you know, gifts that He gives to you and I think are far greater and far outweigh anything that we can do or exchange humanly one-on-one. And so when we think about gifts, you know, my mind immediately goes to Romans 6 here in verse 23. And I don't know about you, but in using the book of Romans and reading through the scripture, I oftentimes, I've had many great joys and experiences in life. But I can tell you there is no greater joy and experience in life than when you get to this part and you're explaining to a lost person Romans 6:23. And you get all the way to the end of the plan of salvation, and you get to the end of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, 10 and verse 13, and you're explaining the scripture to them. And then you ask them this simple question: would you like right now, this very moment, want to receive that gift of salvation, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you got to reach out and you got to take that gift, and if you want to accept Christ as your Savior, and I extend my hand, and they reach out and say, yes, I want to do that right now. And you're offering to them God's greatest gift that He gives. Let's take a look at it here. Romans 6, one interesting verse, and it literally is, I think it's a transition, because here in the Bible it talks about in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But, and notice the transition here, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no greater gift that God has given than this gift called eternal life. I know when you look at it and you think about things in Christianity, things about evangelism, things about discipleship, things about and all that we do, the greatest thing that we can focus on is taking God's greatest gift and reaching out to somebody else and passing that on to mankind and our those around us, family and friends, and those that that we can be able to pass that on, but asking them if they're willing to receive the greatest gift that God has ever given, and that gift is simply eternal life. I want you to think about this. Go over to John 3:16. Many of you can quote this verse and so you have it by memory. In John 3:16, one of the greatest all-time scriptures in the Bible says, "For God so loved the world, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," just exactly what Ron was talking about, "that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Life eternal, life that never ends. Our God is a great God, and He is eternal, He is everlasting. That is one of His attributes. And so we find that He simply wants to give to you and I that gift of eternal life, of everlasting life, and the promise and the hope that we can have. And so, my friend, today, whatever you are getting at Christmas, make sure you have this gift of eternal life and this gift of everlasting life, and that you've received that. You know, it's interesting this week, and because many of you have been praying, I appreciate that. And my mother, a couple weeks ago, had a stroke, and long story short, she passed away on this last Monday at 12:23, and I was watching the process take place My mother was one of those that was ready. She was ready to go. She was saved in 1967. She knew the Lord, and she raised us in a Christian home, and we knew exactly where it was at. Made it real easy on me as a son when it came down to just being able to execute on everything. And she, in order to live, my mother would have had to have a feeding tube. And she refused that. And so I talked with her Monday night after the stroke, and she is paralyzed on the left side, couldn't talk, and couldn't swallow and eat or anything, couldn't open her eyelids. But she could get about every three or four words out, and I talked to her. And after I talked to the neurologist and the medical team down in Cleveland, they said, "Have you talked to your mom about what's coming?" And I said, I will tonight. And I said, she's got it all laid out in her advanced medical directive. She knows what she wants. And if she can't have a quality of life and live independent, she just wants to be let go and die a natural death. That was her choice. That's all laid out in the living will and all the papers and everything. But I had to have one more conversation. And so that night about 8 o'clock, I said, "Mom, you know who this is?" She goes, "Yep, it's Rick, my son." And I said, "Well, do you understand what's happened here?" And she goes, "I do." And she goes, "I had a stroke." And I said, "You understand you're paralyzed on the left side?" She goes, "I do." And I said, "Well, can you open your eyes?" She goes, "They're open." I said, "Mom, they're not open." So I took my thumb and pulled her eyelids open. She goes, "Oh, I can see you now." And so she sat there about it and said, "Do you understand what's going on here?" And she goes, "I do." And I said, "Well, Mom, the doctor said you're going to have a feeding tube here in a day or two to be able to help you." And before I could get the words out of my mouth, she cut me off. And just her and I there in that room. She cut me off. She said, "Absolutely, Rick, no feeding tubes." And I said, "Are you sure?" She goes, "Yes." And I said, "Okay." I said, "I thought I better try this just to make sure she understands what she's doing here. I better try this one or two more times and come around left end and try it again." So I did a couple more times. She was real clear and very vocal and very bold with me. And I said, "Okay, then you know what this means." She goes, "Rick, I'm ready. And just let me go." And the only thing she said, then she kind of whispered, she said, "Just take good care of me." And I said, "I will." And then we saw the process that went. And you know, you can be saved in a local New Testament church. You can accept the gift of everlasting life. You can be saved and know you're saved and know you're on your way to heaven. You can live out your faith day by day. And what our families always believe that you're saved by faith, you live by faith, you die by faith. But here's the ugly part of that. You got to see death come in. You got to see the death angel come in and begin to take over a person's life. And even though you're prepared, and you may be sitting there today and you're prepared, you're ready, and you've received this everlasting life, this eternal life, and you are prepared and you're ready for heaven. But I'll tell you, the death angel sweeps in and begins to do its work. It's difficult with a family member, whatever relative or a friend or anybody. I told somebody the other day, I said, "I think in our church family, we've had enough funerals here for a while. We lost Brother Forrest and just recently went to be with the Lord. We lost Dorothy Putman, just recently went to be with the Lord. Then we turned around and lost Brother Bill Elam and went to be with the Lord. And then we turned around and lost one of our charter members, Celia Samples, went to be with the Lord. And then right on top of that, I got the phone call that, hey, by the way, your mom's had a stroke and it's not looking good. And then I had another funeral. So I told somebody yesterday in Ashland, I said, "I think I've had 5 funerals here in the last 6 weeks." And you know, when you think about it, the death angel is very real. And the main thing that kept coming out to me is God's gifts at Christmas. The most important thing that you and I will ever, ever, ever do is to make sure that those around you, those whom you know, those whom you love, those of your friends, those of your neighbors, that you take the extra effort in your life to make sure they have everlasting and eternal life. And so when that death angel swoops in, you know where they're going. And I was just talking with Paul down here, and you just lost your father. Grandfather, just lost your grandfather. That's exactly what he said. And he's saved. He knows where he's going. He has everlasting life. He has eternal life. But you got to get through that doorway of death. And that's the difficult part for all of us. And so when you think about John here, John 3:16, it is everlasting. It is eternal life. Let me show you this verse found over in 1 Corinthians. And so the greatest gift that can be opened at Christmas time is the gift of eternal life, everlasting life, life that never ceases, life that is God can only give. It's the most important thing that you and I can focus on, my friend. It should be the priority of our lives every day, everywhere we go, is to oftentimes wonder, the person that we're interacting with, the person we're talking to, do they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Are they on their way to heaven? If they took their last breath now, where will they spend eternity? In 1 Corinthians 15, we know him down in verse 42, Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. He said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. That's what you and I are sitting in right here this morning. You and I are sitting in a natural body, but when we are raised from the dead, we are raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You've got to take care of this thing of everlasting life and eternal life and to realize that the most important gift that you and I have and that we can offer to anybody else is to make sure that we walk them through what we call the Romans Road. And realizing that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you're walking them through. You're basically trying to get somebody to see that they're lost. And before you can get saved, you've got to understand that you're lost. And then offering them that gift of salvation. And I don't know how you do it or whatever you do, but I literally make somebody I've even taken ink pens out of my pocket and said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and accept this free gift of eternal life and everlasting life? And they said, yes, I would. I said, well, then reach out and take the pen. I've had somebody sit there and look at me like, really? And I said, yeah, and I know it's just a visual, but yeah, they reach out and take it and say, let's pray. And if you really mean that, then you pray and ask Christ to come into your heart and have and accept him for salvation and eternal life and that salvation he gives. It's the greatest gift that you and I will ever get. And you and I, sitting here today, we've received many gifts down through life. But the greatest gift you'll ever give is the gift that God gave, and that's eternal, everlasting life. And that comes to remembrance every time that you and I experience that in our church family and we lose somebody that's close and dear to us in the family is to realize the most important thing is to have that eternal life. But I want to share with you too, at Christmas time, I don't know about you, but I don't know, maybe you should go to the Christmas tree and there's only one gift under the tree. But I don't, many times, I think because in our nation and country we've been blessed, and you'll go there, and there's sometimes many gifts under the tree. And I always get a little fearful when you see families and you're opening gifts, and they'll open them, tear it, and then shove it aside, and go to the next gift, and shove it aside, and go to the next gift, and shove it aside. I begin to think about, the abundance and the blessings that you and I have in the world that we live in, and we have been a blessed people. And I begin to think about some of the other gifts that God has given to us. And they're there for you and I to enjoy, to apply. And so let's just take a look at a few more here with the idea that the greatest gift today is eternal life, everlasting life. Hands down, nothing will ever come any closer to that than have an eternal, everlasting life. But let's take our Bibles now and go to Matthew 21. And I don't know, I would kind of call these secondary gifts or other gifts. And I just want to kind of highlight a few for you in the Bible this morning and during this Christmas time of the year. And I think these gifts that God gives to us or things that he gives to us are there for you and I to enjoy and things for us to use in our lives to make us so enjoy our Christianity, enjoy the things as we think about eternal and everlasting life. It's interesting because every time I turned around this week, I had a doctor or a nurse or a hospice worker asking me, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm all right. Are you all right? And, every time I turn around, somebody in the medical field was asking me, are you sure you're okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, I know where I'm going, and she knows where she's going. And so it was a good opportunity to share our faith, and we had a chaplain come in to the room one day and said, is it all right if we meet with your family for a little bit? I said, sure, come on in. So it was interesting because evidently a lot of the families they deal with struggle with this process of called life and then death. Death is very much a part of life. And we need to prepare ourselves for that and make sure that we have everlasting eternal life. But in Matthew 21, let me show you another gift here that I think that's interesting and oftentimes one that we miss. This is Jesus teaching a lesson here on the barren fig tree. And he says, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and he found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, and saying, How soon is the fig tree withered? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith. Now think about that now. If ye have faith, this is saving faith. If ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say to the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Interesting verse in verse 22. And all things, not some things, but all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. I sit there and I think about it here. Here's another great gift that God has given to the believers, the Christian world, those that have accepted that eternal life. I think so many times we come up short and we don't maximize the full ability of the Christian life because we really do not believe. We doubt. We have doubts and we have questions. And here Jesus was given the illustration so importantly here on the fig tree and simply saying that all things whatsoever, if your faith is strong enough, if you believe strong enough, if you're anchored in Christ strong enough, and you do not doubt, you can then, and by believing, you shall receive. And so I find it here interesting, these all things here, that whatever you ask in believing you shall receive. And so this is really a prayer of faith, having faith in God and having faith in the Lord, and that whatever you ask, if you don't doubt, you're in your heart. Did you ever do that? Have you ever been praying something somewhere and say, God, you know, if it's your will and whatever, would you please? Let me give you an example of that. My mom only has two brothers living now. And so my one uncle, Uncle Stanley, we call him Kay, he'd come in, it was a couple nights before my mom passed, and he and I sat by the bedside, and I know it's just a matter of time, just hours or days or whatever, she's gone. She's gone to heaven. And we had accepted that. Mom was ready for it. She told me she was ready for it. I was ready for it. My sister was ready for it. We're just sitting there waiting on the death angel to swoop in, make this thing happen. But you got to wait. My Uncle Kay's sitting there. Now, he says he's a Christian, says he has faith. But he's sitting there saying, God, if there's any other way, just make it possible that, because she kept saying, Come on, Ada, get out of that bed and get up. She probably could hear him. If she could talk, she'd just, Stanley, just sit down, and everything is going to be just fine. But he sat there, and I thought, you know what, interesting, because we sat and look at the faith, and my Uncle Stanley right then was doubting a little bit, and a little bit weaker in his faith in that, and he doesn't go to church like he should, although he says he's saved. And so I just kind of walked away from him thinking, and I finally leaned over to him. I said, Uncle Kay, and my mom could hear it, I'm sure. She's going to go. This is the end. She's prepared for it. We're prepared for it. She ain't coming back. And we're going to go see her in heaven one day. And so I said, and I looked at it, so whatever you ask, and I realized he sat there and asked that, but I could see the doubts, I could see the hesitation, I could see, he wanted to go back to like it used to be. I don't know about you, but when this all went down and I began to think about, we're the ones that get shortchanged. Forrest went to heaven. Dorothy went to heaven. And you think about here, Bill Elam went to heaven. Celia Samples, that sat right back over here, went to heaven. We're all sitting here, my friend. And one of these days, it's going to be our turn. Beyond a doubt, without hesitation, without reservation, you need to make sure you have everlasting and eternal life. And the faith here needs to be strong enough that you put your faith in God. And simply, in our prayer life, God simply says here that if our faith is strong enough, if we believe strong enough, if we do not doubt, and if we have confidence in God, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing that, you shall receive that. So how strong is our faith? Let me give you another Christmas gift here, I think, that, you know, kind of, and, you know, as I kind of go through the Bible, I was just kind of looking at some of these. Go over to James 1, verse 19. We're starting into the book of James in Sunday school right now, but there's a lot of gifts that God gives in the Bible. I think we just need to read our Bibles and unfold them and wrap them, or unwrap them and pull them out and then begin to apply them. And, you know, I was reading this here because we're in Sunday school now and looking at the book of James, and There's so many gifts here if we just apply them. And here in Scripture, notice this here in James 1, verse 17. Every good gift, think about that, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. And wherefore, my beloved brethren, talking now to the believer, talking about to the Christian, and he's talking about now good gifts and perfect gifts from above, he says here, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I thought, well, here you go. Here's another gift that God put right here in the Bible for us to accept. And so this passage here in James giving us is really teaching us about not doing evil, and that evil is not of God. And so when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin then leads to death. And here in the last few weeks, we have been reminded of that time and time and time again. As I look around the congregation, many of you, I realize, you know, you have a family member that you just went through a hard experience of letting go of a loved one and going through that doorway to death. And so when I think about that, you know, sin is ugly, and sin is brings about death, and so death is ugly. And so when you look at it here, you know, how many times here have we sinned because we have not listened carefully, or we spoke too soon, or we let our anger get the best of us? And so here's another gift, I think, that God gives to us here. And he talks about in the Scripture here, James 1:17. He says, every good gift. And he talks about here, my beloved brethren, talking to the church, talking to the Christian, talking here to the northern tribe and the southern tribe as they were scattered, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So here in a couple weeks, you know, you're going to sit in your homes and you'll share gifts and exchange gifts with families or friends or whatever. And we'll do that out of love and enjoy those gifts. But the good gifts and the perfect gifts come from God. And the main one being simply eternal life and everlasting life. Let me share with you then another one. Go over to Philippians 4. And because it is Christmas, and I do want to throw this one in here, another gift that God simply gives in the Scripture, Philippians 4, Paul gives us a verse here. He says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And Philippians 4, great verse to take a look at. And so when I looked at this verse and began to study it, I simply put here, this gift from God simply is, before you spend, earn. If you think about this, really, in the Christian life, God says more in the Bible about finances and about money. And this is that time of the year where it's real easy to take the plastic out of the billfold and just charge it and charge it and charge it and charge it and charge it some more, and then try to figure out later on how you're going to pay for it. And we live in a world and that everything is so marketed and so you know, and so sold out there in public that you can have whatever you want. And you know, don't worry about, you know, paying for it and the debt and you know, if you look at it, I often wonder, and you think about it here and the gifts that God has given to on the principles of finance here in Scripture. Paul is really teaching here though on in this text here on Philippians how we shouldn't be anxious, and we shouldn't be anxious about some of these things. And yet, if you think about it, it's around this time of the year, and that's why I had to throw this in here on this message on God's gifts to you and I during the Christmas time. God does not desire that you and I live a life of being anxious. God does not desire that you and I live a life that, and I'll tell you one thing that will make you anxious, is finances that you cannot be disciplined or control or have a part and make sure that doesn't get a hold of you. The Proverbs says this over in Proverbs 1 and verse 20, there is a treasure to be desired, an oil in the dwelling place of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. In other words, you simply in our world today, and we live in a society where government never sets the example, and much debt is taken on, and basically in a nation, we are a bankrupt nation. So you cannot spend what you do not have, and don't follow the world or the government. They spend before they have. They spend more than they have, if you really think about it. Hebrews 13:5 and simply says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So lusting after things. Things. I said a little bit ago in Sunday school. You know, it sure is evident. And, you know, as you acquire things through life, you know, a lot of it, you think about, I have no idea how all this stuff shows up and all comes together, but over a lifetime, you begin to accumulate things. It's interesting, I see that my mom started preparing for her death a long time ago. She started unloading things, get rid of things, and matter of fact, she made it real easy for me to be able to come in. She said, you know, just come in, Rick, come into the closet. There's one box, everything you're going to need is right in that box. So I come in, there was everything right there in that one box, everything I needed. Not only that, right beside the box was hanging the funeral dress and the undergarments and everything right there. Come in, it says, the day I die, there's my dress, there's my undergarments, there's the living will, there's the medical directives, there's the titles and the deeds, and there's the insurance policy. Walked in and boom, one box, pulled it out and began to execute on it. Now, some would say, well, that's morbid, you know, why? Because I remember when she started doing all that, she said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I said, well, why do you want to do that? She goes, I just want you to know, just be ready. That was like years ago. And I thought about it, and then when it played out, I thought, well, it does make a difference. So when you think about it here and material things, and as you think about lusting after material riches and the root of all kindness or kinds of evil for which some have strayed from their faith and greediness or whatever, it's interesting. You know, I don't know, the funerals that we just did, I didn't see Brother Forrest taking a U-Haul to heaven with him. I didn't see Dorothy pulling anything. My mom didn't pull a thing. Whatever you got, well, all this stuff we all have, it's all staying here. But make sure you have the greatest gift of all, of everlasting life, of eternal life. And you follow and honor some of these other things here that the Lord gives to us as gifts. Let me share with you, I think, another gift here. Turn over to Colossians 3, and I think another gift. And the Bible's full of these different gifts. And it simply says here in Colossians 3 and verse 2, and where Paul started out in Colossians 3:1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Think about that now. "Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth." The affections, our affections, the things we love, the things we want. Well, I really want this, and I got to have this, and I really need this. And, you know, do we really need that? God says here, set your affections on things. So I think really a good gift at Christmas is to keep some of these verses in mind of setting our affections, our thoughts on things above and not things. And so what are those things that you think about here? And Paul, I think, addressed those over in Philippians 4 and verse 8 and things to think about. So what do you think about during the holidays? Boy, I just got to have this new vehicle, or I just got to have this new clothing, or I just got to have this new jewelry, I just got to have this, do we really just got to have all this? And it says here in Philippians 4, "Finally, brethren," notice this now, Philippians 4:8, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on these things. So when you think about what Paul said here in Philippians 4 and also in Romans 8, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." My wife and I have eight grandchildren, and my sister has six. So not all of them were with us this week. Most of them were there. The challenge was to be able to explain them so they could understand what spiritual things mean and all that was going on around them. And to try to get that through their minds and what they think on the important things, and to try to do that. And it's easier said than done. But when you look at it here, to mind the things of the Spirit, and for to be carnally, Paul said here, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So to understand, again, I go back to the most important gift that you'll ever get at Christmas, or you already have, is that gift of everlasting and eternal life. And then I think there begins to be more gifts that unfolds here in the Scriptures. And let me just throw one more out here in Galatians, if you will, 6 and verse 9. And Paul talks about this and Scripture. Galatians 6, 9, the Scripture talks about, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So I just kind of put beside this gift here that we get is, before you quit, try again. And why I say that simply is, as you get around the holiday season, always, not for everybody, is the holidays all about joy and fun and happiness and presents and exchanging and gifts. There's some people who are going through the holidays right now are dreading it. It's the first Christmas without a spouse. It's the first Christmas with something else going on in their life, and they're dreading the time of the holidays. If you know somebody like that, I just encourage you to reach out to them and help them and do whatever you can do to be an encouragement along the way, because not everybody during this time of the year looks forward to the gift-giving and the Christmas season of the year. So seek out that person, but whatever you do, don't quit. Remain faithful. Galatians 6, 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. And sometimes we get to that point in life and where what we do just become weary, and I see that sometimes, especially on some of the things that we've recently experienced here in our church family. Sometimes people just get to the end of the rope and they just don't have much left in the tank, and they just can't keep on keeping on. Just encourage them to go one more day. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Everybody gets tired. Everyone has maybe a thought about throwing in the towel, but you got to get up and you got to keep going one more day, one day at a time. James, back in Joshua 1:9, Joshua said, "Have not I commanded thee?" Joshua said to Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, and neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Be strong, be of a good courage, and be not afraid. Here's the last gift. You know, everybody's a little bit different in life. I can say, you know, my mother wasn't perfect by no means. I'd be the first to admit that. But she was perfect for our family. And not only that, I told the folks at the funeral the other day, I said, you know what? We don't choose our mom and dad. Amen? God chooses that. So He placed us exactly where He wants us in life. And we got to make sure we do the best with all that. And my mother was one of those people that was a hard worker, worked all her life, very independent, married to my father for 33 years, and now is a widow for 33 years. And realizing, you know, think about it, I've often said, if I had a choice, if it's up to me to choose, I just want to go full steam ahead until I can't go anymore, and then God take me home. Now, He may not grant that. In other words, so here's the last gift under the Christmas tree of God's gifts to you and I. Live until it's time to die. Live until it's time to die. In other words, live life and live it to the fullest and enjoy every minute of it. And if you really think about it, I just begin to jot some things down. Decide to live for God and then give it your all while you have time to do it. Live every day with a fresh new start. Be true to yourself and who you are as a person. Quit complaining. You don't have time for that. Be proactive in life. Take an active step forward. Don't think about things you can change. Focus on things that you can take action on. Be committed to your own growth. Know your own inner self. I mean, it's a sad thing, isn't it? We get later in life, and I don't know whatever age it is, and we still really don't even know who we are. We should know who we are inside and out. Know who you are. Know your inner self. Discover your life's purpose and life's meaning along the way. Stop putting life on hold. Live it while you got a chance to live it, and live it to the fullest. Set your goals. Take your action. Do things you love to do. Discover your passion in life. If you get criticism along the way, learn from it. Criticism is not always bad. It can make you a better person. Be positive. Be willing to forgive. Here's an interesting one. Declutter your life and focus. Focus on everlasting life, eternal life, the things that you value and are most important, and declutter and get rid of some of the things that weigh you down. Another one is always keep learning. I don't know about you, but I always want to learn right up till the day I take my last breath. Keep learning. There's always more to learn. Stretch yourself and embrace new ideas. Live until it's time to die. And when you die, make sure you have God's greatest gift, everlasting, eternal life. Death is ugly. It's harsh. I hate it. I deal with it all the time as a pastor. It's tough when your family goes through it. And it's very much real. It's very much a part of life. But I think we should live life to the fullest, enjoy it, because you and I cannot escape this doorway of death. But the thing that we got in our mind is the greatest gift of all is that everlasting, eternal life from our God and from our Father that will be with Him forever and ever and ever and enjoy the things that He's given us. So get your Bible and open up some of the gifts at Christmas that He's given to us. Let's pray.